It's 5:01 Pacific time, and it's not snowing here in California where I am, although it's snowing in other parts of Southern California, but I'm at the coast, so we got a little bit of rain earlier. Weird storm came through. I guess they have about 3 or 4 inches of snow in Scottsdale or Arizona.
Wow. Are you Sandy or Windy?
I'm Sandy. I'm sorry.
I thought you guys had like a beach theme going.
No. I'm Sandy Henderson. This is WLS Success Matters, and we offer one support group call each month. It alternates. This month, February, it's on the third Thursday. Next month in March, it'll be on the first Saturday in the morning. So it's at 8 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday, March
2nd, I think. March 2nd.
March 2nd, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's when the next call will be. And I'm delighted to have you all with me. And I see people from, I see a New Jersey area code, a California area code, New York area code. Let's see, where else do I know? I think there's a Nebraska, there's several Nebraska
yep.
area codes, I think.
Yeah, yes. I'm Nebraska.
I'm Nebraska, too.
I'm Nebraska.
Okay, so we have 3 Nebraskas. Those are my 402s. Where's 573? Marla, where are you calling in from? Oh, you're muted. Okay.
Hi, this is Heidi. I'm 973 of New Jersey.
Okay, that's the other New Jersey area code. We also have a 201, which I know is Jersey as well. And 606, Mary J, that's, where is 606?
I'm actually in Harrogate, Tennessee.
Okay. Well, welcome, Tennessee. So we have people calling in from all over the country, literally all across the country. And I just want to welcome you all to the call and tell you just a little bit of the logistics. I'm going to ask for input if, you know, I can see some of your names, you know, on the screen. And if I call you by your first name, it's like Mary J. I didn't want to give her last name. It's nobody else's business. But if I call you, you know, and you call on you, if you want to answer, go ahead. If you don't want to answer, just say pass. Or, you know, if I call and ask for input, you know, please share. Making the call interactive really helps us all learn a lot. I learn from you just as you get to learn from me. I know we have some people who are pre-surgery here. So let's see, just kind of call out if you have not had your surgery yet.
Mary, yes.
Veronica.
Mary, yes.
Okay.
Veronica from New Jersey.
Okay.
Mary from Nebraska.
There's about a half dozen of you who haven't had your surgery yet. Any new surgeries? Anybody, you know, less than 6 months post-op?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm doing my support group now, and I'll be finished, and I'll have my surgery. This is Mary S.
Okay. All right. Well, wonderful. So you're still pre-op. You're not 6 months post-op.
No, ma'am.
Okay. That's great. Is there anybody who is post-op? Marla, I know you are. Anybody else on the call who's post-op? Mm-mm. Okay. Or they might be and just are not sharing at this point yet. And that's fine, too. That's okay. So I want to talk about 3 things tonight. I'd like to talk about protein, portion control, and journaling food and feelings. Let's start off with protein. Why is protein important, especially after weight loss surgery? Anybody want to take that one on? I'm sure your answer
Mary
will be
is.
Correct.
Mary is.
Okay, go ahead,
Joni.
Protein is important because when you don't eat a lot, you got to have the protein in your body that helps your body to function.
That's absolutely correct. That's wonderful. Anybody else? anything to add to that? And the reason it's so important, and I'll add to it, the reason it's so important, especially after weight loss surgery, is because it maintains and builds muscle mass. And muscle mass is essential for weight loss. That's number one. Without protein, you're not going to be able to build any muscle. And the more muscle you have on your body, literally, the more calories it burns just throughout the day doing nothing. So that's number one. Number two, as Mary was saying, because we consume so few calories after weight loss surgery, we are already at a risk for reduced muscle mass. Because if your body does not get protein from an outside source, it'll break down whatever muscle you have to compensate. And you don't want to lose any of the muscle that you have, however little or however much it is, because that keeps your metabolism running at a higher pace. You don't want to slow your metabolism down. We already did with our obesity, slow down our metabolism. In addition, it helps our body function. It helps it heal from surgery. It gives you healthier skin, nails, and hair, and a higher functioning immune system. So those are just a few of the reasons why our body needs protein. What else does protein do? Yeah, go ahead.
This is Mary, yes, and I wanted to ask the question.
Sure.
What happens if you don't get the protein that you need? Will you get sick? I know that your muscles, it'll hurt your muscles, but will you get sick?
No, it doesn't hurt your muscles. It destroys your muscles because it eats your muscles. Your body then goes to your muscles for the energy it needs for its daily functioning. So if you don't get enough protein in, you have problems with your skin, with your nails, with your hair, and your immune system is not doing so great. So, yeah, you can
get sick. I have a question, too.
Sure.
I was just wondering, since I've started this process, I've found out that, wow, I really don't get that much protein, and I'm fine with meat. I like meat and all that. But to eat meat a lot seems kind of not logical. What if you're just getting your protein shakes? I know it's a complete protein, the powder protein, if you get a pure protein. If you only get your protein from that and if you don't eat meat, is that okay? Is that acceptable?
You're going to have to ask your doctor that. I know what my doctor's answer would be. My bariatric surgeon's answer would be no. Don't drink your calories because you're going to want food too. You're going to want to chew. You're going to want to eat. You need to learn how to enjoy the pleasure of dining.
And I would, but I'm just wondering if it's, you know, at an extreme case, you know, is it still acceptable? But
in an extreme case, that becomes between your doctor and yourself. But of course, if you look at it logically, If you're not getting protein from any other source, if you're not eating and you're just doing your protein shakes, at least you're getting protein. So some is better than none, always, right?
Yeah.
If the only exercise you have is getting up and getting to your car and getting out of your car in the parking lot and going up to your office and, you know, and then back, that's better than lying in your bed all day, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm using that, you know, as that kind of extreme example as well.
Uh-huh.
But that's
okay.
A conversation.
Yeah, I understand.
That's a good question because a lot of people after surgery have trouble. Have you had surgery yet? I don't know who I'm speaking with.
No, this is Marlene in Nebraska. No, I have not.
Okay.
I should have it around May or June.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I just wondered because it just seemed like, wow, it's kind of hard to, you know, even though they say eat a boiled egg, well, that's only 4 grams or 6 grams of protein.
6 grams of protein, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, it might be kind of hard to get to that. What if, you know,
worst case
scenario.
What if you ate 4 ounces of chicken? That's 24 grams of protein.
Oh. Oh, that's another way to look at it. I did buy a scale, and I'm learning all of that. So.
And this is all about, those are wonderful questions, and this is all about what we're talking about tonight. You have a lot to learn, and it's wonderful. I hope you're going through some, are you going through some classes with your doctor or with a nutritionist?
I am. Marlene from Nebraska. Yes.
Good.
And Mary S. From Nebraska. I've had the lap band, so I know what you're talking about. They're getting ready to take the lap band out and put the sleeve in.
Well, they're not putting the sleeve in. They're doing a vertical. They're doing a vertical sleeve gastrectomy. It's not a device. It's a surgery. The lap band is a device. There's a difference, but that's fine. Yeah, I understand the question, Marlene. And and yes, right after surgery, for a while you will be only on liquids. So you'll be getting your protein. Your only protein source will be, from the protein drinks. But there's also other ways to get it. Bone broth, for example, which can be purchased at the store. Pacific makes one. Fire and
What's
Kettle
it called?
Makes one.
Bone what?
Bone broth. Broth. B O N E R O T H.
Okay.
One cup is 40 or 50 calories and has 9 grams of protein in it. So when you're on your liquid diet, you can have something that's savory in addition to the sweet of the protein drinks.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
There's lots of ways to do it, and this is a learning process. Okay, so we've got it. So the thing about firm protein, like your meats and your poultry and your fish, chicken, pork, beef, turkey, fish, shrimp, crab, they're all, they all can be high, high in protein. And small amounts will take care of your protein needs. For, like I said, 4 ounces of chicken breast, boneless, skinless chicken breast, has about 24 grams of protein in it. If your protein requirement by your doctor is 60 to 80 grams a day, if you had some at lunch and some at dinner, you'd have more than half your protein in already.
So, but you said the bone broth would be just like having meat, like a complete protein.
No, it's not. It's protein, yeah. It's a complete protein.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just something opposed to sweet, yeah. I understand.
Yeah. And it's something to balance it. So, in addition, firm protein, which is what we want you eating, what your doctor wants you eating after you've made it all the way through your, your transgression, your transition from, your clear liquids to full liquids to soft foods to solids, then the doctors prefer you eating solids to get all your protein. Firm protein keeps you satisfied longer. It fills you up for longer periods of time because it takes the body longer to break it down and use it than it does carbohydrates. If you eat a cookie, it's immediately available in your bloodstream. All that sugar, all those carbs are immediately available in your bloodstream, and if you don't use the sugar in it, it turns to fat in your body. But the worst part of the sugar thing is that 20 minutes later, your blood sugar is going to dip, and you're going to feel hungry. So what would you rather have? A little bit of firm protein that's going to keep you satisfied for 2 to 4 hours, or a cookie that's going to make you hungry again in 15 minutes, or a piece of toast, or, whatever it is that, is a high-carbohydrate food. And eating the firm protein, because it keeps you full for longer, you'll find yourself less hungry between meals. And I don't know about any of you on this call, but one of my biggest issues is grazing all day long, the constant hunger. And it was the constant hunger because I was eating, this is a technical term, crap foods. high in carbohydrates, high in simple sugars, you know, just foods highly processed, all foods that did not take care of filling that satisfaction of and fullness that protein gives you. Let me ask you guys a question, and let's kind of go through. How about if I do it by area code and ask you if you have a recommended, you know, how much protein does your doctor recommend? 949 area code?
That's me, and I'm actually, I don't remember the grams, but one of my quick fixes that I like to do is a Faye yogurt for a quick 20 grams of protein.
How much sugar is in Faye yogurt?
I don't think Faye has any because it's Greek yogurt. It doesn't have any fruit or sweetener in it.
Yeah, but it does have lactose, which is milk sugar, which is what it's made from. And, you know, if you're having plain, so you're talking about plain, not fruit flavored in any way, shape, or form?
Right, just the plain 2%.
Okay. You might want to look at the label on that just for your information. That is a good quick fix if it works for you because it's about 130 calories for, you know, a 6-ounce container, right?
I believe it's 100 if I remember right.
I think the 0% is 100.
It's oh, you're right. I just looked it up.
Yeah. It's between 100 and 100. I have this amazing mind for trivial stuff. sometimes I wonder about me, but I'm a Virgo, so the detail is all in the detail for me. So you've had surgery already, yes?
Yeah, I'm actually 16 years out.
Okay. All right, wonderful. So yeah, the fine is good. It's a good fix. When's the last time you saw a doctor around work?
I haven't been to my surgeon in quite a few years because I didn't have my surgery locally.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have doctors monitor my blood work regularly.
Good. Excellent. That's the biggest thing I want to make sure of. Typically,
yeah.
You know, anybody else, 908, how much protein does your doctor recommend?
He said 60. I have to start with 60.
Yeah, 60 grams minimum. Typically, you know, anybody else have you know, a recommendation of their doctor? Go ahead and just call it out.
Marlene from Nebraska.
Go ahead.
60, and I said I was going to go for 90 to 100, and they said that was okay.
Yeah, 60 is the minimum typically. Very good. Excellent. So, yeah, that's it.
Mary from Nebraska, my doctor told me 60.
Yeah, and that is a minimum, folks. Be aware that that's the minimum that they want you to get in. Typically, it's, you know, 60 to 80 grams of protein. And 60, start with 60. Right after surgery, you're going to have to work up to 60. It's going to be tough to get it right away because if you're getting a sleeve or a bypass, your tummy is the size of, you know, a thumb. It's tiny. You can't put a lot into it. Plus, it's had surgery, so it's sore for a while, too. It takes a while to heal. So you're going to have to work up to it. So how do you think when you're eating, we have somebody who's 16 years out, so she can answer that. We have other people who are also, you know, post-op a bit, so they can answer that. How do you get your daily protein into your food plan? How do you get this amount, 60 to 80 grams of protein, into your daily food plan?
I read in my bariatric surgery book that you can, there's other ways you can add protein. You can either buy the powdered non-dairy fat milk and add that into it, or you can buy unflavored powder and add it into, like, creamy foods like pudding and stuff like that.
Right,
so you're not, like,
you're
actually drinking more.
You're
talking about afterwards. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That is for, you know, immediately after surgery when you're still healing, when you're still on liquids and soft foods. When you're eating three meals a day or five meals a day, which is what I eat, how do you get your protein in? Okay.
This is Marla from Missouri. I just try to focus on eating my protein first. So if I get full, then I've filled up mostly on the protein.
Exactly. Eat protein first. Take three bites of protein for every bite of veggies or whatever else is on your plate. And hopefully it's just veggies when you're in the losing process. So it's three bites of protein, one bite of veggies. And eat your protein first. Yeah, that's exactly it. So if you put a couple of ounces of, I'm trying to find a universal that everybody likes. Okay, so let's say ground beef. You know, you put a couple of ounces of ground beef on your plate, and you also put some green beans. You're going to have three bites of your ground beef before you have your green beans, before you have one bite of green beans, to be sure you get your protein in. That's the way to do it. Okay? The other piece to look at when you're learning what foods to add in or to try as you're coming through your post-op stages is the leaner the protein, the fewer calories it has, and therefore the more you can eat and stay within your calorie goal. Let's take, for example, does anybody have an idea? The average ground beef that we buy is 80% lean, 20% fat. Does anybody have an idea of how many calories are in 3 ounces of it? Or protein is in 3 ounces of it? It's 15 grams of protein, which is pretty good, but it's 216 calories. And for me, for my protein source, that's too many calories. I would rather go to the extra lean 95-5, 5% fat, 95% lean ground beef, which is 18 grams of protein for 3 ounces and only 116 calories. So by trading up to the leaner meat, you can save 100 calories for your portion. Does 100 calories sound like something you might want for a midday snack?
Yes.
Yes?
Yep.
Yes. Or you might want to put some cheese with that meat, and that way you can put some cheese with it. Or you can put other things. You have the room to do it. And so you want to look at your meats and look at the leanest cuts and read all the labels. Just because you go to the market and you see somebody's brand of, you know, tilapia in whatever, however they prepare it, and tilapia is a really super low-calorie fish, it might be coated in breading and egg and have more calories than you want. You need to look at the labels. You need to be aware of what you're consuming. It's really important. Has anybody
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I just wanted to know, through my bariatric book, I have not seen anything about avocados, and I always hear good things about them, but I don't know about the benefit of avocados.
Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to Google nutritional value of avocados. And when you Google it, you want to then read it and look and see. It's a high fat fruit. And it is a fruit because it grows on a tree. It's a high-fat fruit, but the fats are good. They're the good fat. They're the kind of fat that you want to eat. So minimal amounts of avocado are typically okay, but they're not. They have very little to any protein in them.
Okay.
So they're mostly fat. And they have omega-3 fatty acids, which is the good fat. That's That's the kind of fat that you want to have. That's the kind of fat that's in salmon. That's the, you know, as opposed to lard, you know, just as an example. You know, so if you are eating fats, that's the kind, that is the kind that you want.
Okay.
But you need to use it very minimally because it will affect your weight loss.
It'll eventually what?
It will affect your weight loss.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you need to be aware of the calorie and fat, you know, and counting it. And, you know,
oh, okay.
I will take a small avocado. I'll take an eighth of it and add it to a little bit of salad.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'll weigh it. I will weigh it out so I know how much I have. Protein shakes and powders. Has anybody been told what the best kind of protein is in powder or shake form?
Just the whey, W-H-E-Y?
Yeah, but pure whey isolate. And the reason that it's pure whey isolate is because your body can absorb it and convert it to energy best for you. The others are not absorbed as well.
Okay. It doesn't matter the brand name?
No, it doesn't matter the brand name. It's just pure, you know, pure whey isolate. It just needs to be pure whey isolate, and it'll let you know that on the label. You just need to, again, read labels. Don't worry about brand. Read labels. That's very, very important, and learning how to read labels and learning what they mean is very important to a successful journey. All right, so what are some of your favorite protein sources? Anybody want to shout it out now, right now? What are some of your favorite protein sources?
Bacon.
Steak.
Say again?
Steak.
Steak, okay. That's good.
Chicken.
Chicken.
Salmon.
Chicken, okay. What else?
Salmon.
Salmon.
Salmon? I love salmon. Only I'm just very picky about fish. It has to be fresh caught. I'm wild. I don't eat farmed fish.
Does the farm fish taste different?
Absolutely. Farm salmon has little to no flavor to me compared to wild-caught sockeye salmon. Because they feed it differently. They don't feed it what it gets in the wild.
Oh.
But that's me. That's me. And that doesn't need to be you because you can't always get wild-caught salmon. I eat it twice a week when it's in season here. That's how crazy I am. But again, you know, again, that's me. And you can get frozen wild-caught salmon also. It's not inexpensive, but it is good. Okay, anybody else? We got salmon, chicken. What else did we have?
Steak.
Fish.
Shrimp is one of my favorite protein sources. Shrimp is great. 4 ounces of shrimp, 120 calories and 23 grams of protein. You can't beat that one with a stick. And 4 ounces of shrimp is frequently more than I can consume.
One other question that I ask my bariatric people is, can you get too much protein? And they said, if you're getting the protein, or if you're having, it would be hard to go over the amount because you would be hungry. Do you agree with that?
Well, you wouldn't be hungry. It's really hard to get too much protein unless you're drinking 3 protein shakes a day plus eating 3 meals a day, in which case you're going to wind up having problems because you're not going to be losing weight because you'll be consuming too many calories. And you'll be banging your head against the wall trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, and they said also that we should be drinking 4 shakes a day. Do you agree with that?
That's when you get started.
Oh, okay.
I have a question.
They don't want you drinking 4 shakes a day for the rest of your life. But right after surgery, the 4 shakes a day is to get in all your protein.
Oh, okay.
And okay, does that make sense? You have so much. Those of you who have not yet had surgery have so much information, it's really hard to start sorting through it. That's why these support calls can help. And keep asking questions and keep asking your doctor and your bariatric nutritionist and, you know, as the questions come up, there are no stupid questions and there are no bad questions unless it's the question not asked. So
okay, I have
be
a
sure.
question.
Okay, you have a question? Go ahead, hon.
Yes, if you're a diabetic and they tell you to take all that protein, is that going to be bad for you as a diabetic?
Well, you know what? I'm not a doctor, and nor am I an endocrinologist. And that seems to be a conversation that your endocrinologist and your bariatric doctor need to have. But I don't know. I do know many diabetics who have had weight loss surgery and basically are I'm going to ask, are you a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic?
I'm a type 2.
Okay. Very frequently, type 2 diabetes goes away at weight loss surgery. So I don't see that as being a problem, but you want to check that with your doctor and, you know, with your bariatric surgeon, both. Your bariatric surgeon knows you're diabetic, so they should be in contact with your doctor. Do you have an endocrinologist that's treating your diabetes or just your PCP?
Just my PCP.
Okay. Then you want to make sure that your PCP and your bariatric doctor have that conversation. But, no, I don't think there'll be, you know, harm in that in getting in the protein amount that you need. You just need to make sure everything else is as balanced as they need it to be. So these are great questions. You guys are thinking hard, and that's where the change happens, is when you're thinking about it and then you act on what you learn. So this is great. Any other questions about protein before we move on a little bit to portion control? Okay, so speaking a little bit about portion control, it's something that right after surgery you might not have a problem with. The reason being that your stomach is so tiny and still so sensitive that you can't get much food down. However, the increased portion sizes over the last 30 years is one of the things that has helped us get as large as we are. It's contributed to the obesity epidemic. Overeating and unwanted weight gain is the result of these, you know, supersized portions everywhere. When we're served a plate, whether we serve it to ourselves or somebody else serves it to us, we tend to eat almost everything that's on that plate. So controlling our portions, both at home and on the go, can help prevent overindulging. And for anybody that is more than, you know, I'll say a year post-op, that becomes really important, because as time goes on, you find yourself having the ability or figuring out ways to eat more. And we need to figure out ways to prevent overindulging. So whether you're a brand new weight loss surgery patient or a seasoned veteran, eating too much can result not only in stalling or slowing down your weight loss, or perhaps even gaining weight, but it also can result in great physical discomfort. Overeating on our tiny stomachs, on this really reduced real estate that we have after surgery, hurts. And if you know, and if you've had RNY or a sleeve, you can get what's called dumping syndrome, which is extremely uncomfortable. So let's talk about how you control portions. And these are things you want to take into consideration and remember as you start eating after surgery. The first thing is never forget that it takes the brain 20 minutes to register satisfied, full, or enough. So 20 minutes from the time you take that last bite, you'll know whether you're hungry, you're still hungry or not. But you won't know it until then. So controlling your portions is really critical. Because if you put 6 ounces of meat on your plate, let's just take that as an example, instead of 3 to 4, that's 50% more than you need. That's more than 50% more than you need. And you might be able to eat it if you're sitting there eating it slowly, but you're going to pay the price when your brain catches up and you go, oh, my God, I ate too much, I'm too full. And it hurts. And it's a lot of physical discomfort. There's an easy way to, you know, there are some easy tips, easy things to do. The first is to use smaller plates and utensils. If you take your typical dinner plate, which now when we buy them, when we buy a set of dinnerware, they're 12-inch plates. They're not even 10.5-inch plates anymore. They're 12-inch plates. And you put a 2 to 3 ounce portion of meat on it, of any sort, meat or chicken or fish, and you put a couple of tablespoons of vegetables on it, what does it look like? It looks like you're denying yourself enough food. It looks like that will never be enough food. It's too small. There's too little food on that plate. So when you see it, you feel deprived. And you're going to think you're still hungry whether you are or not once you finish it. So if you use smaller plates, use 6-inch plates, get a bariatric portion plate. If you use a smaller plate and you put your 3 to 4 ounces of meat on it and your little bit of vegetables, bam, it looks full. You're going, oh my gosh, how am I going to finish all of that? And you might actually stop long enough to consider whether you actually want to or not, whether you're still hungry. There's been a couple of studies done. One study demonstrated that people using a large bowl ate 77% more pasta than those using a medium-sized bowl. 77% more. At pasta being an average before sauce or anything else on it, 120 calories for a half cup. That's a lot more pasta. That's a lot of calories. That's a lot of carbohydrates. Another study that used nutritional experts for the study, they participated in the study, they served themselves 31% more ice cream when they were given larger bowls. That's a third more ice cream. Again, a lot of calories, a lot of sugar. And when just given larger serving spoons, they serve themselves about 15% more ice cream.
Huh.
So the really interesting outcome of these studies is that most people feel full having eaten from a smaller dish and a smaller amount than those who ate from the larger dish and the larger amount. Interesting. And this is something that you guys who have not had surgery yet can start right now. When I was immediate post-op for about the first 6 months, I still use small plates, but I used a small plate, but I also used a toddler spoon and fork to make sure my bites were small, that I can only put a little bit on the spoon or the fork at any one time. And it really helps slow you down.
I had a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Is it okay to occasionally do like a, you know, like the Weight Watchers or Nutrisystem frozen dinners, you know, to kind of help keep you on track? I mean, if, you know, as far as time and all that, is that okay?
Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do again is read the labels on the dinners. Make sure they have enough protein. Lean Cuisine has a bunch of dinners that are lower in sodium and have no preservatives in them. My problem sometimes with Weight Watchers and Nutrisystem is they're so high in sodium and oftentimes they're full of highly processed stuff. So you read the labels and you find something that works for you. But yeah.
Oh, I like Lean Cuisine, so that'd be all right.
I'm sorry?
I said I do like Lean Cuisine meals, so that would be all right.
I have a question.
Yeah, on the Lean Cuisine meals, make sure to weed them and make sure the protein is enough for you. But yeah, I use them for lunches when I was working outside of the house, because I just take a bunch, pop them in the freezer, and I bring my breakfast in with me also, pop it in the refrigerator, and I do that on Monday morning, and I'd have everything done Monday through Friday. And it worked, and it might work for you, and that's, you know, check again with your bariatric doc to make sure it's okay with them.
Okay,
second question.
Yes, I have a question. This is Mary from Nebraska. Can you use a toddler's plate that has dividers to do that portion control?
Absolutely. Especially if you've got one already in the cupboard because you have a toddler in the house
I have a 15-month granddaughter, and I have several plates now in the house, and so I have them available, and I was just wondering if they would be the right portion control.
Well, the one way you know is with the dividers on them, when you weigh and measure something and then put it in the divider to see. But just having that smaller plate, the toddler plate, with some dividers on it is going to help your eyes adjust to the amounts that you should be eating, and that's a wonderful idea. So very well done.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Very well done. Again, use your plate as a portion guide. You can purchase actual bariatric plates and bowls and utensils online if you want to. I'm not saying that you have to, but, you know, it's a way if you have no other way. When I'm in a weight loss stage, 70% of my plate is protein and 30% of it is vegetables. That's it. That's how that goes on my plate. So, you know, these bariatric plates and bowls actually map it out for you. But you can do it yourself. Get your small plate and measure a couple of things that you eat, weigh and measure them, and figure out, you know, where your portions are. You can actually probably use a permanent marker on a plate, on a small salad-sized plate that you purchase at, I don't know, at some 99-cent store or whatever, and, you know, and have it marked up for yourself. But anything that lets you see the portions. Another piece of it is you want to be sure that you're well hydrated before you eat. Drink your water up to a half hour before your meal, and then stop. If that's what your doctor told you, if your doctor told you longer, follow your doctor's instructions on that. What you need to remember, though, is that thirst can demonstrate itself as hunger. You can think you're starving, and if you drink some water, you realize, I wasn't hungry at all. I was thirsty. So getting in your required amount of water is really important. Who has an amount that their doctor told them of water that they're going to have to, again, this is something right after surgery, you're not going to be able to get in the first week after surgery, doubt that you'll get in the amount of water or the amount of protein that your doctor wants you to work up to. It takes a little bit of time to get there. You just keep sipping all day long.
64 ounces?
That's it. A minimum of 64 ounces of water a day. And if you are diabetic, it's more than that.
Yeah.
So it's a minimum of 64 ounces of water a day.
And I have a question.
Sure.
You said you're diabetic. You said if you're a diabetic, that is more than 64 ounces a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I drink. Okay. Now, I drink like my doctor had me drinking like six to eight 8 ounce bottles of water or cups of water a day.
Okay, eight ounce glasses of water is 64 ounces.
Oh, okay. Okay.
When you're eating protein first, your doctor might have you drinking a little bit more if you're diabetic.
Okay.
So ask them, you know, ask that question of your doctor.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions on that? Okay, so the next tip for portion control is to take it slowly. Okay, none of us got to where we're labeled as obese by eating with one pinky up in the air, little tiny bites, very delicately. You know, for me, it was, what's the biggest shovel I can find and how quickly can I get it down? I'm over-exaggerating, obviously. But eating fast makes you less aware of getting full. You're not paying attention. And therefore, it increases your chance of eating more than you actually need. Remember, it takes the brain 20 minutes to register full. So eating slowly can actually reduce your total intake. And for those of you who have not had surgery yet, these are all mindful eating is something you can practice right now. Putting your portions on a small plate is something you can practice right now. You want to cut your food into small pieces, no bigger than a nickel. And after surgery, you want to chew each bite 20 to 30 times. Your doctor will probably tell you to chew it until it's the consistency of applesauce. And what you're going to find by eating slowly, even if you slow down now before surgery, is not only will you eat less, you'll actually enjoy your food more. I listen to my doctor's the informational seminar that he did, and for me it's almost 15 years ago. And one of the things he said that stayed in my head is that you need to learn to enjoy dining. Not to love food, but to enjoy dining. There's a difference. You want to take that small bite. You want to chew it. You want to taste it. You want to savor it. You want to get all the taste out of it. You want to get all the textures out of it. And you want to enjoy it. Put your fork down between bites. And don't pick it up again until you've swallowed the bite that's already in your mouth. Pay attention to your
comment.
Food. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And this is something I'm surprised that I don't follow more because one thing I know about myself is if I eat a little bit and then I stop for like a half hour, I almost can't even force myself to eat. Or if I have somebody that I'm eating with that we talk a lot and there's a big delay in eating because you're talking so much, I eat 100 times less just because it is slow. So, you know, I'm agreeing with you that in my case, those are the two things that I experience, and I should do that more.
It's real. So you're just saying, okay, so she's not lecturing on something that's not real. You're telling everybody else on this call that it's real. It works.
Yeah, if you just try it, just eat a little bit and then stop for a half hour. I mean, something I love, I cannot eat it. I'll have to wait.
Well, the way to help that. Have you had surgery yet? I don't know
no.
who you're speaking with.
Marlene in Nebraska. No.
Okay, Marlene in Nebraska. Uh-huh. One way to deal with it now is to put a smaller portion on your plate. and then practice the mindful eating. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you on this call to take one meal each day and eat it mindfully. Learn to enjoy the experience of dining. Take a small bite, put a small portion on a small plate, take a bite and chew it 20 to 30 times, tasting it, savoring it, putting the fork down between bites. And actually write down your experience, what it was like. And also write down your satisfaction level, your fullness level when you're done. I will bet that all of you will experience what Marlene from Nebraska has experienced, the fact that a small amount is very satisfying. All right. Any other questions about mindful eating? All right. The next tip is never eat straight from the container. Whether it be a bag of M&Ms, a bag of almonds, or your favorite takeout. Don't eat directly from the container. Studies have been done, and people eat 129% more candies when served from a large container versus a small one. Take your snacks, take those nuts, whatever you have for snacks, and empty them from the original big package into small portion-controlled package. Mm-hmm. Example, an ounce of nuts. An ounce of almonds is like 180 calories. That's enough. And don't serve family style at your dinner table any longer. Portion the plates before serving. If you're serving at the table, if you have it served family style, the big platter of food out, you will tend to take more. Even if it's only your plate that you portion out before you sit down, those of you with families, portion your plate out. I have been doing that for 14-plus years. My family is so used to me having, you know, a big family dinner. I'll have 8, 10, 12 people over here. And I'm still at the stove weighing and measuring my food, putting it on my plate, and then the rest of it comes to the table for them. Because the one thing that I don't do is go back for seconds. When my plate is done, it's done. Because it's measured. It's the amount of food that I require at that meal. So portion your food out before you serve it. Big thing, know what a serving size is. Invest in a food scale, measuring cups, and measuring spoons, and use them. Even if you're only using them for a couple of weeks to get used to what 3 ounces of meat looks like. I still use them. I weigh and measure when I make. I made a huge pot of split pea with ham soup after Christmas when I had leftover ham. I know the calorie count and the protein count in one cup of that soup. It's 187 calories and 21 grams of protein. How do I know it? Because I weighed and measured everything that went in the pot and then figured that all out and divided it up into portions and froze it that way. And that is what keeps me on the straight and narrow. Anytime I stray from doing that, my jeans get tight. So you also need to read food labels because you need to know what a portion size is. If you don't read the food labels, if you don't weigh and measure your food, it'll help you be aware of exactly what you're eating. But how will you know how much protein you have if you haven't measured it? How will you know how many calories you've had? You have no idea how much you're consuming unless you weigh and measure what you're consuming. The last thing, and we're getting very close to the end, is use a food diary. We're often unaware or in denial about how much we eat and or drink. So again, writing down everything that you eat and drink can increase your awareness of the type and amount of food that you're consuming. People are often surprised to find out how much they are really eating. This can actually motivate you to make healthier choices or to reduce your portions. So journal your food. We're not going to get into the depth of food journaling that I'd like to, so maybe I'll make that my next support group call. But you want to, when you track your food, you want to track the calories, the protein, what it is, how you feel, and how you feel when you're done eating, and take a look at it. The best thing for your nutritionist, if you're having any trouble losing weight or keeping weight off, the best thing you can do for going in to talk to your nutritionist or your bariatric surgeon or the nurse or, you know, the nurse practitioner or whomever in the office that's going to help you out is to have a food diary. The critical part of that is to be honest. Because if you're not honest, it's useless. So any questions about food tracking or food journaling, you know, real quickly, because we have 3 minutes left. Any questions about that? So let me go over again briefly what you want to track. You want to track the food. Write down everything you eat and drink and be truly honest. You want to track the portion size. So if you took, you know, 2 half cups of mashed potatoes, you want to write it down. A cup of ice cream, a tablespoon of butter, a bag of chips, or 25 almonds. You know, you want to write it down. Note the time of day that you ate something, because this can help you establish your pattern of eating. You know, you can see, you know, are you really snacking a lot at night, or are you doing it at work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or when, you know? Or are you going too long between meals? Did you have breakfast at 6 a.m. and you're not having lunch until 2 in the afternoon, and then you're consuming everything in sight? I would too, because that's too long to go without eating. Also, look at where you are when you eat. Are you eating in front of the TV? Are you eating in a restaurant? Are you sitting down and eating at the dinner table? Or are you standing at the counter multitasking? Are you playing a game on your phone or reading your emails while you're eating? And the other thing is hunger level. So make sure that you're not eating by the clock because it's noon, it's time for lunch. Make sure that you're actually hungry when you're eating. So, and stop when you're satisfied. Don't wait until you're full, because remember, 20 minutes later, Marlene told us this really works. You're going to feel full. The last thing you want to journal is your feelings. How do you feel before and after you eat? It can help uncover some of the triggers for emotional eating and help you deal with those patterns, the stress eating, the emotional eating. Once you identify the emotional connections, you can work towards meeting those needs in other ways. So awareness is the first step in healing. Keeping a food journal will get you on track to overall improved health and well-being. Anybody keep a food journal now?
Yes, I do in Marion, Nebraska.
Excellent. Excellent. Are you tracking all of those things in your journal?
Not everything.
Yeah, I suggest that you look at, you know, you look at some of the things that I have brought up. And now it's 6 o'clock straight up Pacific time. 7 Mountain, 8 Central, 9 Eastern Time. So I want to let those of you go who need to go. I'd like to tell you about some of the things that WLS Success Matters offers Again, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on March 2nd, we'll have another free support group call. We also have an online Facebook group that is called the original WLS Success Matters original weekly weigh-in group. It's more about, yes, you do weigh in once a week because you need to stand on the scale once a week to be honest with yourself and to be accountable. But it's an accountability group. It's a motivation group. It's an inspiration group. We do challenges weekly. This week our challenges around exercise. What are your fitness goals for the week? And daily tell us how you've met them. And include in that what your doctor's recommendations for fitness are. So all of that is available to you. And we start a new group the first Tuesday in March, which is March 5th. And we have a promo going on because it's February, the month of love. If you use Love Me in the promotional code, you save $14. Any of you who have been around and had surgery a while ago and regained weight or are stuck on a plateau and need some help, we have a six-week class. It's an online class taken from the comfort of your home or wherever you choose it to be. It's a live class, though. We use a computer, you can call in, or you can use webcams. It's called Back on Track. And in 6 weeks, we've had people lose as much as 25 pounds and turn their life around. There is a section on goal getting. So it's setting and getting goals, what it takes to get them. Exchanging habits, trading in that popcorn or potato chips and soda at night while you're watching TV for a healthier habit, how you do it without using willpower, because willpower is won't power and it doesn't work for very long. We wouldn't be having weight loss surgery if willpower worked. There's all sorts of pieces, how to integrate your weight loss surgery life into your everyday real life. So it's all of that. 6 week class. Again, if you use Love Me in the promo code, there's a discount for you on it. And all of this can be found at our website, which is WLSSuccessMatters.com. And we also have all of our phone call, all of our support calls are podcasts, and they're on there. And if anybody would love to spend a weekend with other weight loss surgery patients at a retreat, Wendy and I, WLS Success Matters, have a Spring Into You coming up in Denver, Colorado, June 7th through June 9th. And that information is also on our website. And this month there's a $30 discount on it using Love Me in the promo code. Because this is all about learning how to love ourselves. It's very important that we acknowledge and love ourselves in order to move forward, because it's the negative talk that we've had with ourselves for most of us for many, many years that has created the situation where we're in need of weight loss surgery as a tool to help us get healthy. So with that, I will say thank you. I enjoy being on the call with all of you. I'd like to hear from one of you. What are you taking away from this call? Anybody?
Hi, it's Veronica from New Jersey. I'm very happy that I got on the call. I'm taking away a lot of information about proteins, the serving sizes, and everything that I have to do to set up for my appointment. And I thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you very much for that. Anybody else? What are you taking away from
this
call?
Is Mary from Nebraska. And
hi,
I'm
Mary.
I'm learning that you with journaling will help, and that the protein is important, and staying with your nutrition is very, very important. And I just learned so much, I can't even say, you know, exactly everything, but I've learned a lot, and I thank you.
Great.
And I appreciate you taking the time out to do this conference call with us.
Well, All right, you're welcome. I thank you. It just it makes my heart, you know, it makes my heart warm to hear things like this. Now I'm just going to tell you all, you know, I will be happy to stay on the call for another 24 minutes to answer any individual questions anybody has. If not, if you want to hang up, you're not being rude if you get off the call now. But I'll be here if anybody has any questions. So anybody with any questions?
I just had a question about, I don't know, they didn't say that I needed some proof of that I was in this group. I know I'm required to at least do one group meeting, but do you send an email or something that we attended? Or?
And if you need proof that you've been on the call, you send me an email to wlfsuccessmatters@gmail.com telling me that either you need the email or who needs the email, and I will be very happy to, you know, to send an email in response.
Okay. And it's wlsuccessmatters@gmail.com.
No, it's WLS, like weight loss surgery, WLS, then the word success. So it's WLS, SUCCESS, matters, MATTERS, @gmail.com.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Any other questions? There's still several of you on the call. Okay, we're down to just a few people still on the call. Anybody have any questions? I'm happy to answer them as best as I can. That's what I'm here for.